Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer-Moffin, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business. And we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. Not even raw-wrapped kibble. Dr. Jessica, what is that? Raw-wrapped kibble.
Is that like the Robble or something? There's something out there that sells Robble. It's still kibble. And it's not raw if it's in a bag on the shelf, because raw needs to be refrigerated.
Clearly on the front of the bag it says oven baked. Okay. Raw is not cooked, it's not baked. It's raw,
it's people. Raw. That's what the definition of raw is. I'm pretty sure.
See, this is marketing. I mean, what? Okay, I just, you know, this makes me angry as all get out, because, you know, people want to know the truth. They deserve the truth. And yet, these companies get to say whatever the heck they want and get away with it. I don't get that.
Well, because nobody's looking. I mean, you know, we know there's really no good regulation in the pet food industry. Nobody's watching. I think people think, oh, well, they couldn't put this stuff on the bags if it weren't true. Nobody's watching. And these big companies, you know, there's only a few big corporations that really make pet food. They own all these other little companies that you see out there. A lot of them are owned by these big corporate conglomerates. And, you know, they have so much money that they can, you know, they could pay off the FDA. They can, you know, they can make claims that maybe aren't necessarily true. And there's just loopholes that they can jump through. You know, unfortunately, it doesn't have to be true. Nobody is checking, and nobody really is looking. That's why we say pet parents need to advocate for your own pets and read the labels and educate yourself and know what your dog is eating. And if you don't know what it is and you can't pronounce it, it's got some six syllable chemical, then don't feed it.
I love pet parents that do a lot of research, but this kind of does irritate the fire out of me, is when you haven't done your research on the kibble that you fed for 13 years. By and large, when you remove the offending foods out of the diet, both human and pet, and you feed real clean food, the body just begins to heal itself and to regenerate some areas that have maybe been suppressed, because that is a great word in today's society, through this crappy food that's on the market. And we see so much bad food on the market, Dr. Jason, don't you?
It's awful. It's just terrible. I mean, when you just look at the ingredients, and it's garbage. Half of it, like, I don't even know what it is. If you don't know where those ingredients are coming from or how they're made, then don't feed them to your dog. 'Cause it's, at the very least, it's making their bodies work so hard to eliminate these things that are foreign to their body, their liver and kidneys. You know, we have all these discussions about elevated liver enzymes. When you're feeding all of these ingredients that are foreign to the body, and the body doesn't know what to do with them, you're making the liver and kidneys work harder. And I think that's why we see these elevations sometimes in these, you know, lab values. So we've got to get, first step, all that crap out of the diet. And you feed, whole food diet. It has like six ingredients. You know what liver is and kidney is and muscle meat and bone. There's no question what's in the food. And it's baffling how, you know, some people, and especially, you know, members of the veterinary profession, will pick apart raw food, but I can guarantee you they don't have any idea what's actually in the kibbles that they're recommending, these so-called prescription diets that aren't prescription. They have no idea what's in there. Just the pet food company told them, well, you got kidney disease, you feed this diet, or liver disease, you feed this diet. And they have no idea what's really in those foods, but they'll pick apart a whole food diet where you, you know, exactly which, you know, you know exactly what all the ingredients are. It's mind boggling.
Right. Right. And so I did get an email where somebody was asking me about the Nutritional Research Council. The Nutritional Research Council, they provide, you know, recommended allowances of essential amino acids, fatty acids, fat-soluble vitamins, water-soluble vitamins, macro minerals, and micro minerals, okay? That's what they do. But mostly for the AAFCO. And so people ask me, are your foods under the Nutritional Research Council guidelines? How did they really even come up with those numbers on the National Research Council?
Yeah, that's a great question, because when you're feeding whole foods, it's so very different, you know, and what they're doing, and people ask that question, but so many of those foods have overly processed synthetic nutrients added back in just so they can put it on the label that it's there. But that's all just print on paper. You have no idea what's going on in your dog's body. Are those nutrients even available? Can they digest and assimilate them? Are they actually getting in the cells where they need to be doing the work in the body? You have no idea what happens. It's all label claims. It's not biology and anything to do with what's happening inside the dog. But we know that when you feed whole foods that are biologically appropriate, you're getting the nutrients and they're in conjunction with, you know, nutrients are meant to work together. They work synergistically. You don't just micromanage, you know, okay, we need this many IUs of this one and this many milligrams of this one. They're meant to work together in a whole food form. So rather than micromanaging the nutrients, let's look at the form in which they're being delivered, because I think that's way more important. And then we do the rotation that we talk about, so you get a balance of the different nutrients. But that's what I think we need to be focusing on, not what's on the label. Because as we were just talking about, they can make up anything they want and they can make those numbers look good. And they don't put on there that, you know, these processed diets are 50% carbohydrate either, which is very bad for the body. You know, they don't put any of that on there. So I think you have to look beyond the label claims and think about what you're actually feeding.
Right. And, you know, each macronutrient, which you guys, macronutrients are fats, carbs, and protein. Okay, fats, carbs, protein. They're in nearly all foods. So those supply calories for energy. Then you look at your micronutrients. Those are your amino acids, your vitamins, your minerals, your trace minerals. So as Dr. Jasek said a gazillion times, bless you, is that we don't want to start jockeying with those. Again, if you feed a whole species-appropriate diet, protein, organs, fat, add some bison testicles. Somebody came in yesterday and they got some bison testicles. And, you know, they look like little eggs and they're great. They're organs. Just cut them up. The texture like a Vienna sausage. The pork brains, amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, add some extra organs. I think you're absolutely going to be fine. Put some phytoplankton in there. Your dog is never going to be so healthy. You see this amazing blood work when you take the offending foods out of the diet and put them on a species appropriate diet.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a huge difference. And if you want to add in an extra nutrient, add in some things like mushroom supplements. They're great for helping to boost the immune system. Also, a whole food supplement. And so we're not micromanaging all these individual nutrients, because you are just making the body work harder. And, you know, as everybody knows, I work with a lot of cancer patients, and I look at where does this come from? And, you know, this internal piece is something that we have absolute control over, because some cases, you know, people have done a great job of feeding their dog a raw diet and minimizing vaccines and pharmaceuticals. And when those pets get cancer, I think, well, there's got to be something in the environment that's coming in. Well, some of that's just out of our control. We can't control everything that our pet is exposed to out there in the world. They got their noses and their paws into, you know, everything when they go out for walks. But what we have to do is control the things we can control, like the diet. Keep that internal environment. You know, they talk about with the COVID thing for people, you know, your terrain. What is your internal terrain look like? Are you keeping your body as healthy as possible? And it's been proven, you know, beyond a doubt that things like vitamin D and zinc and some of these real simple nutrients help protect you against the coronavirus. Well, if you want to keep your dog healthy, you have to look at the same thing. What are you putting in their bodies, and are you helping their body work optimally? Because then if they do get exposed to some external toxin, they're going to be way better equipped to handle it. Their body can detoxify because you're not overworking the liver, just eliminating the ingredients in its diet.
Yeah. And this poor pet parent sent the email because she wanted us to talk about it on the podcast. And she said, I've been trying to follow the nutritional, the NRC balanced diets every day. And she said, but it's exhausting to prep their food each day with everything that goes into it. But I'm so paranoid they won't have what they need. This is the thing. I mean, people are super paranoid that dogs will not get what they need. And I liken it to, okay, how do you know, Dr. Jasek, that your own baby gets what they need every single day? Your human baby. Why do we not worry about the things that go into our human body, but we really do worry every day when we're feeding a species-appropriate diet to our dogs? There seems to be a little bit of a disconnect there.
I agree. And I'm not sure why people feel like they have to micromanage their pet's diet to that degree, because I can guarantee you these same people are not likely measuring all the nutrients that they put into even their own bodies every day. I mean, I don't, you know, it's a rotation. Some days you eat better than others. You know, you eat stuff, something that doesn't agree with you. You feel kind of cruddy and like, oh, that wasn't a good thing to eat. But people feel like they have to micromanage all these nutrients, and it just doesn't have to be that hard. If you do the rotation and, you know, the different proteins and all these different body parts, and then you look at how your pet's doing, I think you're going to have a pretty good indication that the diet is working for them.
Right. And let's go in and do some blood work. I love to do blood work, and I at least have my dog's blood checked and do some blood work and look at their levels at least once a year, at least once a year. Now let's talk about something else really quick. When you're talking about, you've got to be a champion for your dog. Oh boy. We go into the vet's office, the traditional vet's office, Dr. Jasek, and you've got these little bumps, these little lumps. Sometimes you can take these lumps and bumps off and really cause more harm than good. And I think that's something that you just saw lately. Let's talk about that. Why you don't want to take these lumps and bumps off? What is the purpose of taking them off?
Well, yeah. So in my experience, the more we remove these little lumps and bumps, even if they are technically a quote unquote malignancy, they come back something like a mast cell tumor or something like that. The lump you see growing is always, it's an indication of what's going on in the body. So cancer is a systemic disease, always. It's not that tumor. So for humans, like to see these lumps gone. And I get it. It's nice to know that there's not a lump there. However, if that's all you focus on, you are not treating the systemic part of the disease. And I can guarantee you it's going to keep showing up. And the more we stress the body by going through more and more procedures like this, we see more and more lumps. So you remove one and then you're going to see more develop, either in the same spot or elsewhere in the body. I've seen tumors blow up just poking needles in them, doing a needle aspirate to try to find out what type of tumor it is. And then that it just makes them angry and inflames them. And then they just explode. And then they become sometimes inoperable at that point because they are so big. And the fact of the matter, what I have found is these little tiny lumps, just leave them there. And let's look at the systemic part of what's going on. Let's talk about nutrition. Let's talk about ways to improve that pet's immune system and reduce inflammation in the body. And we can do things to treat those lumps locally. Like, you know, I do ozone therapy. I can actually inject the ozone gas right underneath the skin, right where that lump is, and help reduce the size. And so there's a lot of things we can do, but if we're not addressing the systemic part and we just keep focusing on the lumps, all we do is make the situation worse. And don't allow the surgeons to be removing your dog's lymph nodes, because lymph nodes are part of the immune system. And even if they're enlarged and even if there are cancer cells in the lymph nodes, when you remove lymph nodes from an area of the body, you are preventing the immune system from working properly, and you're creating congestion in that area. And I've seen this. If that the cancer in that area grows back, it's coming back with a vengeance, because the immune system in that area can't work properly once you remove the lymph nodes. I think cancer cells in the lymph nodes can be an indication that the lymph nodes are just doing their job. They're draining them from the area. You are always going to have circulating tumor cells. If you have a tumor growing, you're always going to have cells in the bloodstream. The key is to get the body healthy enough so that they don't take hold and form tumors and other problems elsewhere. I've actually heard that there's like a signaling mechanism in cancer where you remove one tumor and then all the circulating tumor cells like, oh, well, that one's gone. We better create another one somewhere. So actually removing tumors can encourage tumor growth and metastasis. And I've seen it. Dogs go through multiple surgeries. You know, got to get the big margins to the point sometimes where they're deforming parts of their body to get these big margins. And then the cancer's still going to show up elsewhere, most likely. And if you put chemotherapy on top of that, so you're wiping out the dog's immune system, they don't have a chance. I mean, the cancer, there's always going to be cancer cells that escape the chemotherapy. And if you're not really supporting that body when that cancer comes back, it's coming back with a vengeance. And that oftentimes is what is the end point for the dog.
So, okay, when they get the markers, Dr. Jasek, that say, oh my gosh, your dog has cancer. This is a mast cell tumor. So mast cell tumor and cancer, are those the same?
If it's a mast cell tumor, it would be cancer, because mast cell tumor by definition would be malignant. Now, mast cells are normal. They're a normal part of the immune system. That's what reacts when you get a mosquito bite, makes you itchy when you have a mosquito bite. So they are part of the normal immune system, just like, you know, lots of normal cells can mutate and turn into a cancerous growth. You have a, you know, tumor in the liver or the spleen or something, you have some normal cells that have changed and converted into these cancerous cells that can then grow unchecked and cause all the other issues. But yeah, mast cells are, I would say a mast cell tumor would be by definition cancer. And then the next step is they end up being, you know, graded, is a grade 1 or a grade 2, grade 3, grade 4. And that's oftentimes based on, there's like levels of reactivity in the cells and what the likelihood is of the tumor metastasizing. So they put all these numbers to it, which creates a tremendous amount of fear. And from my perspective, those numbers really don't mean anything, because I'm looking at supporting the healing ability of the dog's body, helping them heal, helping them manage the condition, whatever they have going on. So what the, you know, what the grade is, or what the mitotic index is, which is another indication of potential metastasis. And you know, they put all these numbers on and scare the bejesus out of people to the point that they're like, yeah, do the chemo, do whatever you got to do. But what I find is if we just take a step back and say, wait a second, this dog's body has the ability to manage what's going on here. We need to support it appropriately. We need to be okay with having those little growths on the body if they're not causing a problem. You have a tumor growing in the bladder that's preventing them from peeing. Well, you got to remove it. You know, there's cases like that where sometimes surgery is indicated, but for a lot of these little skin growths, it's so not necessary. I've managed so many cases of mast cell disease effectively without having surgery done. And we just keep the body healthy. And if the lumps are there, the lumps are there. And these pets stabilize and they do really well.
Why would they remove the lymph nodes? Why would they do that?
The thinking is, if so usually they do an aspirate first, they put a needle in, they draw back, and then they see, well, are there any, you know, cancerous cells in the lymph nodes? And so because the cancer cells are in the lymph nodes, I think the way of thinking about it is, well, then we remove the lymph nodes, we're removing more of the cancer. And you're really not, because they can guarantee you, if there's cells in those regional lymph nodes, there's going to be cells already elsewhere in the body. And what you're doing is, again, you're preventing that local immune system from working appropriately. And so the chance of regrowth in that area is so much greater. And if that tumor comes back and those lymph nodes have been removed, the immune system can't really help the body very much, because you've eliminated this, you know, this drainage. So I think that's why. But it's, again, it's we have to look at it as a systemic disease, not a local disease. And if all you do is approach it from this local perspective, it's going to become, you know, more of a problem systemically eventually. If you keep stressing the dog and keep making the, you know, cancer more angry by all these little local interventions.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that would be the case in humans as well. Let's say you have some sort of a cancerous tumor. I wonder if you're just making it worse by going in and taking it out, you know?
I think it's this. I'm sure it's probably the same. You know, you gotta, if you have to manage it as a systemic issue, rather than just, you know, going after it locally. And sadly, most oncologists, both on the human and on the pet side, will say that nutrition doesn't matter.
What?
It doesn't matter. I mean, that's what people are told us. Say, what about diet? Oh, just keep feeding what you're feeding. Nutrition isn't going to make any difference. I know people have told me this, that they're veterinary oncologists and also on the human side. So, nope, diet doesn't matter.
So no, you're absolutely right. We have a friend right now. I say what? And then I remember a friend of ours right now has prostate cancer. But he also, they say that the cancer has gone leached into the bone. Mm-hmm. And so Rick said to him, well, have they changed their diet? No, haven't changed my diet at all. And Rick and right. I are like, really? How can that be? If sugar feeds cancer and the things that we talk about feed cancer, how can they not talk to you about diet?
Yeah, because I think they don't, I think they're not aware of it, for one. I mean, that's not part of their training, because the training is to, again, just like in pets, attack the cancer. They don't talk about supporting the immune system and supporting the ability of the body to heal. So most conventional oncologists, they're just trained that it doesn't matter. Nutrition doesn't matter, which is baffling. You know, I've talked to people that have gone through chemotherapy treatments themselves, and you go in there and they have all these like snacks, you know, like high sugar, you know, eat cake and cookies. And I've actually gone on to websites of like the hospitals that do chemotherapy in people, and like what their nutritional recommendations are. And they say, oh, just eat things that are as high in calories as possible, because a lot of people that go through chemo lose weight. So say eat. And literally I read this, like, you know, milkshakes and cake and all this high sugar stuff to try to you know, keep their weight up. Eat whatever you want, because so many people get sick and they lose weight because they're nauseous and all that. But yeah, they don't talk to them about what's the nutritional content and the fact that sugar feeds cancer, which has been well proven. And, you know, why don't they teach doctors this? Well, there's a lot of money made doing these chemo treatments. And I know on the human side, physicians get kickbacks from these companies for prescribing these protocols. They prescribe these, you know, chemotherapy protocols, and they get kickbacks from, you know, big pharma. Talk to people about nutrition and they may not, you know, need to buy all those expensive drugs, and heaven forbid, big pharma would start to lose some money.
Well, I think in today's environment, a lot of things are coming to light if you're not watching mainstream media. Now, if you're watching mainstream media, you might be, you know, brainwashed into thinking that people like the FDA and the CDC are all looking out for our best interests. And we are finding that that's not necessarily the truth. And certainly when you look at where they're taking hydroxychloroquine off the market, won't let people get to it. But you look at something like ozone therapy, all right? Ozone therapy, which it decreases inflammation, it activates the immune system by stimulating the cytokines or cytokine production, cytokines and interleukin and interferon that create positive immune stimulation. Okay, that's a great thing. Ozone inactivates bacteria, fungi, viruses, and yeast. Oh my gosh, are you kidding? But let's not approve that, FDA. I'm hoping what people are starting to see is when it says not approved by the FDA, in my mind it says, who gives a rip?
Exactly. Because what does that approval mean? Things get approved by the FDA because these companies can make a lot of money. These approvals are bought, literally. You know, the companies that get things approved are, you know, vaccines pushed through quickly with minimal safety testing. Those approvals are literally bought because they're going to make these companies billions, and they will... They'll fund the process. They'll pay off whoever needs to approve it. Or, you know, they go a step further behind the scenes too, and they will threaten people that won't approve it. So whoever is in charge of, say, approving a certain medication or a certain procedure, if anybody speaks out against it or says, hey, there's no evidence showing that this is actually safe, well, they will be either discredited, or they'll lose their jobs, or they will be fined, or their you know, lives will be threatened. I mean, all this stuff goes on, and that's the real world. And so, yeah, those approvals don't necessarily mean that much. And so when people say, well, why won't the FDA approve something like ozone? Well, ozone is generated on site. It can't be patented. So the big money is always in something that can be patented, because then the company has exclusive rights to it, and they can pretty much charge what they want at that point because there's no competition as long as it's under patent. Well, ozone's generated on site. You can't package it. You can't, you know, put it in a bottle and put a label on it. It doesn't last. It has to be generated and used right away. So the FDA doesn't even know what to do with that. But in other countries that are more open-minded than ours and less controlled by big pharma, ozone is used extensively. And they're actually looking at using it against a COVID. And it's a potent antiviral that's been proven over and over and over again. It's been used for HIV and Ebola and, you know, all these other really tough viruses. And I'm sure it would be effective against COVID as well. But, you know, you're not going to hear about a safe, effective, inexpensive treatment. That's not what the powers that be, you know, want. It's all a money game. The whole, vaccine industry in pets and people, it's all about making money. It's not about keeping pets and people healthy. They'll say, oh, well, this is how this is how you stay healthy, is by getting all these vaccines. And that's a bunch of bunk. You gotta, again, look at what what's going in your body? What are you putting in your pet's body and keeping that internal terrain healthy? That's how you stay free of disease, not with the vaccines.
52% of dogs dying of cancer every single year, and it continues to rise. There is no urgency to take a look and see what that's all about. There's no, oh my gosh, people up in arms, people protesting, people saying something is seriously wrong with what the FDA has approved for their food, what they have approved as their vaccine schedule. Nobody's talking about that. And yet we have over half of our animals, of our companions, getting cancer every single year. Something stinks in that picture.
And that's how I got into doing more alternative therapies, looking at just that. Like, well, so clearly what we're doing isn't working because more and more pets are getting sick. But what ends up happening is they just keep coming up with new pharmaceuticals or more different chemotherapy drugs or, you know, different things like that. And it's not working. It's not improving longevity at all. And the simple fact that the body can heal when given the right support is completely overlooked. And that's what's really tragic, because there's so many easy ways to keep ourselves healthy and keep our pets healthy through, you know, foundationally good nutrition. And most people are just unaware. And it's heartbreaking. You know, I see people come in and their pets have cancer, and I'll say, you know, we really need to not be feeding kibble. And I don't want people to feel bad, but I want to educate people. And, you know, people do, you know, oftentimes do feel bad. Well, so did I cause this by feeding this food? And is it, you know, you can only do what you know. So, you know, doesn't do any good to beat yourself up about what you've been doing, but let's make changes going forward and get educated and learn that there is a different way of doing things. And it's easy to fall victim to all the propaganda out there. You know, I get it. But it's like you said earlier, Dee Dee, got to separate from mainstream, the mainstream news. Don't make that your gospel truth for what's going on in the world. I look at it every now and then as like a joke. You know, like, seriously, they're actually telling people stuff? Because it's hilarious. Sometimes it's interesting to see what is actually coming across mainstream media, but I don't rely on it for a news source. Not at all.
Well, and back to your point of these pet parents who are coming in, and I hear it every day, and so do you, that they don't know. They're like, I didn't know. I did not know that what I was giving my dog was dangerous. I didn't know it was toxic. I thought I was feeding the best kibble I could. And to that point, I want to say, that is suppression of information. There is not information out there on mainstream television or media about the benefits of raw dog food. We actually had the TV stations come out, do an interview with us. We thought that they were going to say, wow, this is amazing, with all the stories that we had about people that were healing. And you know what they did? They took it, they twisted it, they ran none of our success stories. They brought a vet on, a traditional vet, who actually said, the bacteria in raw is dangerous and the kibble is great for your dogs because it cleans their teeth. And I was just like, why did you waste my time? I will never, ever do an interview with mainstream media again, ever.
Because yeah, and you know what? I think they do stuff like that. I think that type of thing is intentional sometimes to discredit the raw industry, because there's, you know, like I said before, big corporations own these kibble companies. And do you think these big corporations don't own the media? They absolutely do. The media is bought and sold. And that something like that tells me like they came out there intentionally to try to discredit raw feeding. I mean, that was the whole purpose behind the thing, is to make raw look bad so that these, you know, kibble companies could make more money. Because they are that manipulative. And I think a lot of people don't want to believe that that's the case, but I think it's absolutely the case.
Well, okay. When people say, I don't think that's the case, and you look at what you said, where they threaten your life and they threaten your business. If, and I always have to take it to a level where people can understand it. So I want to ask my listeners this. If you had access to the information that Dr. Jacek and I do, that means we're listening to the other side of the story. We're listening to David Martin. We're listening to The High Wire, Dr. Robert Kennedy Jr., Dr. Sherry Timpenny, Peggy Hall, all of these people that are really looking at numbers in the world of COVID right now. They are looking at the effectiveness of masks. They are looking at the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine. And so we're getting this other information. But here's the question I would ask my listeners. Do you have the courage to take your mask off? And most of you are going to say, no, I don't, because it's a law, it's a mandate, whatever. So I want you to take that. That's a very small fear that you have, and yet you're staying right there. You're not taking your mask off. You're afraid. You're not hearing the other side of the story. Now you amp that up to somebody who has a business, somebody that has $1 million invested in their business, and you have the powers that be come and say, if you step outside what we want you to do, we're going to cause great financial harm to your business. So now you begin to understand the level of fear that keeps people in place. You're worried about being shamed. You're worried about, you know, being wrong. Think about these people that own these companies, or let's even say in the veterinary industry. Some of these vets out there, they know better, Dr. Jacek. They have to know better. And yet, if they change the way that they're going to do business, they are going to lose their livelihood. So, Right. Listeners, listen to what I'm saying. Would you be able to go against the mainstream? Now right. You understand. You understand how much power the people with the big bucks have. You get it. You get it. Because so there was a time, Dr. Jacek, and I likened this to my mom, who we were talking about one of my nephews who has an extreme addiction, okay? And he has been addicted to pain meds and in and out of rehab centers for, you know, 20-something years. And I don't think that he's going to snap out of it. But my mom made this statement. She said, I just don't understand it. I don't understand how he cannot stop. And I said, well, Mom, you're an extreme worrier. So let me put it to you like this. Are you able to get up and stop worrying about the things that you do every day? Because you could just make that decision to mm-hmm. stop worrying and you could stop.
Mm-hmm.
But she, in her mind, believes that she can't stop worrying. I said, so take that and amp that up about 50 times. If you can't do this small thing, how do you think that somebody else is going to do something that's amped up 50 times? You can understand why they can't do it.
And that's hard. I mean, I tell myself that, you know, like worrying doesn't get you anywhere, but still it's hard to stop it. And, you know, it's the same with addiction. You know, I think, you know, there's a certain amount of mindset there, but then you also have the, you know, the physical part of it, which makes it even tougher. And you have to want it really bad. I mean, you have to want to be able to, you know, get past your addictions. But yeah, a lot of it is how you view things. You know, you're talking about the masks. We went hiking a couple times this last weekend, and it baffles me that people out on the hiking trail are all masked up. You know, you're out there in nature and it's very easy to keep your distance. It's not like you're in a crowd of people. You're just passing people on the trail, but people will have masks on. They will turn away when you pass them, you know, and what's really sad, what was really striking this weekend is like people are becoming afraid to even talk to each other. That's right. Really tragic to me that, you know, this whole mask wearing thing is creating issues that are going to really affect our culture. And I think we need to really think about that. We did one trail that for some reason, I don't know why, but we only saw one group that had masks. Almost hardly anybody on this trail had masks. And people would stop and talk to you and say hello. You know, it's the friendly banter. Hey, you know, how you doing? Where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. And I realized how much of that has gone away because people are afraid. It's creating fear of other humans. And that's scary. I mean, when we become afraid to even look people in the eye, and I see this, people will turn away. They won't look. They don't know what to do. Like, is it safe to talk to somebody? You know, that's really tragic. That's a huge cultural shift. But to me, you know, I'd rather get the virus and rather than live my life in fear of my fellow human beings. I really feel that strongly about it at this point, because I think that's going to be very tragic to our culture. And if we're in fear of each other, how much more social unrest is that going to cause? And things go wrong. If you're already afraid of each other, people are afraid of each other, and things start to not go so well in our world, they're just going to start blaming each other. And we need to come together. We need to come together as a community and be free to, you know, talk to each other and debate things and bring up these hard issues and talk them out. And I think this whole mask wearing is severely limiting that. And I think that's really sad. I think it's going to be very tragic for our culture.
Well, as you and I have talked about, if you have a strong immune system, your body will take care of that. Every single year, how many times have you gotten a bad cold? You've gotten a bad flu. Right? You stay home, you take care of it. But now what's going to happen is you get a cold, you get the normal flu, and people are going to freak out.
You know, the cold and flu season. I see clients all the time that come in with colds and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, like, I'll probably get one at some point. And you get a cold or, you know, you get the flu or whatever. It's kind of just like part of life. You know, they built this whole paranoia now around this, you know, this COVID thing, and created, again, fear. Fear is the best way to control. It's just like, you know, when people become afraid when they get the cancer diagnosis, and they'll do anything to make it go away, and they'll believe anything, because when you're in fear, you're in fight or flight. You're not thinking clearly. You're not thinking logically. You're thinking, I got to run away from the saber-toothed tiger because something's chasing me. And with fear, and that's what they're creating in the media around this, you know, this whole COVID thing, where people can't even look at each other, talk to each other. I think it's bad, and I think people need to really look at where is this information coming from, and you know what's and make up their own minds. You know, we encourage people to advocate for their pets. I think the same thing with this COVID. You need to really look at, okay, what do you think is appropriate in your own life? I know when I have my clients come in, and if I give them the option to take their mask, they all come in masked up very respectfully, and I give them the option to take off those masks, and they're like ripping them off their face. They're like, oh, thank God. I hate these stupid things, you know? So these are people, you know, that are already thinking for themselves, and is this really appropriate, and do we really need to be doing it? And I think a lot of people are questioning, you know, the necessity of us being all masked up and, you know, afraid to talk to each other.
I think because of the industry we are in, Dr. JC, it's not a leap for us, because we've watched the FDA come after the raw dog food companies. We've watched the CDC say certain things. We've watched the traditional veterinary community talk down the raw diet. We've seen this happen in our industry. Mm-hmm. So it's not a leap for us. We see it. It's very easy for us to follow the money and watch what's happening. For other people, it may take a little more time, but we encourage you to do that. All right. Well, that's our podcast, everybody. If you would like to talk with Dr. Jasek, she is at ahavet.com. Start your dog on a species appropriate diet by going to rawdogfoodandco.com, where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business. Just snap.